It's called The Dirt in My Life. And let's just open with a word of prayer. Lord, the words from Scripture put to acting on a screen, but it's your truth that was spoken. And today we want to just unfold your truth a little bit and have a look into this parable. Prepare our hearts, and by your Holy Spirit, bring it to us in a way that causes us life change and understanding of your kingdom and living differently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we talked about what parables were. And I just want to give you a quick recap of a couple of things. Warren Wiersbe says this about the parables. The word parable means to cast alongside. A parable is a story that teaches something new by putting truth alongside something familiar. A parable starts off as a picture that is familiar to the listeners, but as you carefully consider the picture, it becomes a mirror in which you can see yourself, and many people do not ask for help. Then the mirror becomes a window through which we see God and His grace. To understand a parable and to benefit from it demands honesty and humility on our part. The Urban's Bible Dictionary says this about parables. It says, the primary purpose of parables is to reveal some aspect of the coming kingdom of God in the person and teaching of Jesus. But Jesus also intended for the parables to that the parables conceal His teaching while being a vehicle for it. Even the disciples of Jesus did not understand the parables without fail, but their adherence to Jesus caused them to seek and receive understanding of the parables. Understanding is made subject to whether a listener is willing to identify with Jesus or wishes to remain outside and hold Jesus at arm's length. The disciples' inquiry arose from a commitment and was itself hearing, which was in contrast with others' failure to hear. Jesus came along and He said, look, the kingdom of heaven is like, and we're going to be in Matthew's gospel, and we're going to go through a series on the parables where Jesus takes everyday events and cultural things and tries to tell a bit of a story and open a window or put up something that would help you understand what it means to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. So here's what we know. A parable used everyday objects and events and images to communicate an important truth. For some of you, if I talk about when our children were born or something they did when they were young or remember how great it was when they were potty trained for a whole week... Come on, some of you parents are smiling right now. You're going, yes, I didn't have to buy any more diapers. And some of you are sitting there going, oh, okay, I understand kind of theoretically what you're talking about, but I don't have kids, or I'm not married, or that hasn't been my experience. And the parables that Jesus used took something that they could relate to, everyday events, images, occurrences. And the parable today, you know, we're talking about a farmer and seeds and sowing, and how many of you have a garden? It's interactive. You can put your hand up. It's okay. How many of you have planted flowers in your yard? How many of you have grass? Okay. So we can all relate to this in some way. No, lawn. Sorry. Lawn. Just clarifying for the young people. And they use everyday events and objects and images to communicate important truth. Secondly, a parable wasn't designed to test the intelligence of the listener, but the spiritual responsiveness. A parable is a story everybody could hear and relate to, and for some people it was a surface event, right? It was like, okay, yeah, I get it, I understand, that makes sense. And for others who were listening, those who have ears, let them hear, those whose hearts were conducive to understanding the truth, the parable conveyed an important thing about what it meant to be someone that was in the kingdom of heaven and how the kingdom of heaven operated differently than the kingdom of earth. And thirdly, great insights about God and His kingdom can be ours, even today, by carefully listening to these parables and attuning our ears to hearing and our eyes to seeing. So, let's start. We're going to talk about the dirt in my life. And I'm going to quickly recap the high points of the parable for those of you who either weren't watching, asleep because the lights went down, or busy laughing at Sean Connery's accent by the narrator. Here it is. There's one type of seed and four kinds of soil. Okay? We can all keep that information right here. One seed, four kinds of soil. In our backyard right now, we have tomato plants along the fence. And we have evidently two different kinds of tomato plants, because we have some that are like, yeah, and there's tomatoes on them, and the other ones are like, no tomatoes. Same soil, same everything, two different types of plants. And so we're getting two different results. In the story, there's one type of seed, four kinds of soil. The hard soil, in verse 4 it says, or the seed, I'm sorry, is the message about God and His kingdom, and we know that from verse 19. It says this: when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes up and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So, four kinds of seed, or four kinds of soil, one kind of seed. First, the hard soil. In verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Second kind is a shallow soil. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Thirdly, the crowded soil. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And fourthly, the fruitful soil. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. So let's go through the different kinds of soil and see how the seed relates. The hard soil. My Life Application Bible says this: as the seed lay exposed. The image in my head immediately is that there's this guy out, you know, throwing seed down, and some of it lands where people have been walking, like on the path or driving, or, you know, and it's packed down and the seed lays on top, and I think of the birds coming down and eating the seed off of the top. And some of you have seen chickens do that. You fed the chickens on the rocky ground, right? And it just gets eaten and taken away because it lays exposed. Now, how many of you have ever tried to scatter seed on hard, packed ground and expected it to grow? Nobody here. Well, some have tried. Did it grow? No, it probably didn't grow. The hard soil keeps the seed on the surface, and the seed is exposed and vulnerable. And Jesus, in explaining this parable to the disciples, says this: that the bird represents the evil one. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. Now, how many of you have ever shared truth with a friend? Yeah, a lot. Most of you, right? I remember a guy I knew. I worked with him. And he was a big man. A big man. And he believed that if he had heartburn or indigestion, he hadn't had enough Coca-Cola. He would tell me he'd sleep with a 2-liter bottle of Coke beside his bed. He also believed that when you spray in a spray booth, like we were doing home renovations, that those smells, they weren't really that bad for you. And he would just open a window in his garage and turn a fan on, and it was toxic. And I remember saying to him, "You're gonna die, man. You're just drinking gallons of sugar, and you're not looking after yourself, and this is what's going on." And he would turn around and tell me a story about people he knew that smoked their whole life and were fine, or that lived this way and were great, or, you know, doctors don't know what they're talking about. And his heart was hard against the truth. Can you relate to that? And no amount of talking or cajoling or showing evidence or telling him the truth would change his perspective that he knew better than everyone else how to do it. In a lot of ways, our hearts are like that sometimes. We share with a friend that, you know, the decisions you're making are going to destroy your life, or we love people and we say, you know, you've got to meet Jesus, and you just can't believe how different it is, and the decisions you're making are going to bring so many consequences, and their heart is just absolutely hard to that truth. And some of you, you know, can identify with this. In the Bible, in the parable, it says that Satan comes along and snatches that truth away as it lays exposed and it's not allowed to germinate on the heart. And that that is an actual condition of people. That not everyone has a soft heart, and that your heart can become hard and trampled down and unreceptive to the truth about the kingdom of God. So the big question is, what makes hard the soil of our hearts? What tramples a path across our hearts, making it resistant to God's word? The second kind of dirt they talk about is the shallow soil. And I can just kind of tell you that I believe nothing of substance can grow without depth for the roots. Our backyard was already done when we moved into our house, meaning there was some grass down. Not finished, obviously. And they just put the sod down, and our front yard had to be done. So I got some good dirt from a friend of mine, and we put it in the front yard, and we raked it all up, and we put our lawn down on this nice dirt. And we've noticed something as the rain has come, that the front yard's greening up beautifully, but the backyard just isn't taking as well. It's not going green. And my suspicion is, I don't know it for sure, that there's a very shallow, very, very shallow bit of topsoil there. And it's just kind of on the hard pack. And that it's going to be really hard to get that lawn to come around because there's not enough for the roots there. You know what this tells me? It tells me that enthusiasm for the truth is no guarantee for fruitful growth. The shallow soil, Jesus said, is the one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places, is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Great excitement. Oh, this is good news. God loves me and sent his son to die on the cross for me. And heaven is a reality and my sin can be forgiven. That's fantastic. Is it lunch? The roots don't go down deep. And Jesus says, since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. How many of you are like me and you know that physically you should get into better shape and so you've embarked on a diet or exercise program at some point? Okay. I love your honesty. That's fantastic. For those on the internet, everyone in the room, everyone. Yeah. So you get excited about it, right? I'm going to do this. This time I'm in. I'm going to do it. Or, you know, you might even do it with your Bible reading program or you're going to church. We're going to get to church. Miss too many Sundays. And so the excitement comes. And the first time you're working out, you're like, oh, I'm sore. And you're commiserating with someone else. And then it starts to feel pretty good, right? You're staying in shape. And then you just kind of lose the motivation, the discipline, the interest. Yeah. Or the cheesecake looks better than the little shake that you're supposed to drink. You're standing at the fridge going, what am I going to do for lunch? Well, I could have this. Or... and your enthusiasm for it drains away, right? Your passion for it fades. Your commitment to it wanes. And the big question is, am I rooted in God's word and in the truth of God's word? Or do my roots seek easy water? And are they able to be plucked by the storms of life? Let me explain that a little bit. You see, I think we can meet our needs God's way or we can meet our needs our own way. And easy water is going to the nearest source of satisfaction, even when it's not lasting or true. And the shallow soil is the soil where there's this initial rush of joy at understanding the truth, and then there's just not enough commitment to keep going. And as trouble comes, and as the weather changes, and as you need to draw water from the roots that go down into Scripture and the truth that you hide away in your heart, you just simply walk away. And the big question is, am I rooted? Or do my roots seek easy water? The third type of soil Jesus talked about was the crowded soil. Healthy plants need dedicated room to grow. And I don't know who at our house put the beets and the carrots in. Yeah, stick your hand up, George. It was you.
And my son did. And he got them in nice and thick, and they're coming up nice and thick. But I happen to know that down underneath the soil, if we don't come along and thin that, they're not going to have room to grow and to fill in, right? Healthy plants need dedicated room to grow. You can put them too close together. You can get too much in one space. And you need dedicated room for it to develop fruit. And I found this an interesting statement. What we allow to be seated beside God's Word has an effect on that Word growing in our life. Think about that for a minute. What we allow to be seated beside God's Word has an effect on how God's Word grows and matures in our life. Here's the thing. Jesus says that thorns are the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Let's go back to the working out thing. Let's say that somebody told you, you got to get back into shape, you're going to die, you got to look after yourself, and you received it, it came into your heart, and you were disciplined, and you started to work, and it started to grow. But pretty soon, as much as you knew you should be at the gym and believed it and were committed to it, there was overtime being offered at work. And, you know, if you worked the overtime, you could get the new quad. And then there was the worries about, you know, well, I can't take the time to go and do this. I got to do that. And you just simply let the other things in life choke that time completely out. You don't remain any less committed to it. You just don't practice it. Right? The big question has to be, what am I allowing to be planted in my heart alongside God's Word? Do I do any weeding, or have life's worries and pursuits left me without fruit in God's kingdom? Now let me tell you, from my days helping at the farm, there were certain kinds of thistles and weeds, you know, Canadian thistle patches, and if you got them, when you got there, there would be stalks of crop, and then as the crop turned, you could see the green underneath the crop. Any of you can relate to this? But as you got there, there was just no product. There was no harvest there. There was no fruit there, because those weeds just simply sucked up all the moisture and sucked up all the nutrients and left nothing for the plant to develop and have fruit. And you have to be ruthless about getting the weeds out of the way so that health can develop and fruit can be the expectation. What are the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth that steal the truth, that grow up beside it and steal the nutrients so that it can't develop fruitfully? That's a huge question. Well, the final thing Jesus talks about in his parable is the fruitful soil. Soil that produces a return is often carefully prepared. Yes? If you went and you mixed the right ingredients into your garden, into your planter box, and you put the right things in and you prepared it carefully, and you carefully put that plant in there, it has what it needs to grow, to survive, to thrive, right? And the expectation is that fruit will be the result. That if it's a flower, it will produce a flower and you will enjoy the flowers. If it's carrots, that eventually they're going to grow up and you're going to pull carrots out of the ground, you're going to eat them and enjoy them. If it's a strawberry plant, that strawberries would be on there. Fruit in the kingdom of God is expected. You know how many times in the Bible it talks about God as the gardener, the vine keeper, that we are created for a purpose, that He loves us, but He calls us to something? Plants that produce fruit are tended, and the condition of the soil maintained diligently. And Jesus says, good soil is hearing and understanding God's word. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And the big question has to be, if the sower is expecting a return, how do I ensure the largest crop? Do I make a difference on the return? Well, let's ask the big question about our parable. So what? Now, I want to give you a disclaimer here. The Holy Spirit of God illumines the truth of God in the heart of mankind. Okay? And I'm not saying you can manufacture something here. But everything about this says that we tend and prepare the ground for the truth about the kingdom to settle in and to grow and to take root and to stay strong and to produce. So we need to ponder and hear the truth of God that we find today and realize that our hearts represent four types of soil. And as we get to sow God's word into our lives, as you sit under preaching, as you listen on the radio, as you read in your Bible, as you read a book, as you spend time in the word of God, fertile soil is needed for a crop to be harvested, and we have a responsibility to the truth. This isn't kind of a fatalistic thing where we come and say, well, the farmer just threw the seed out. I sure hope I'm good soil. No, no. We have a responsibility in this thing. As people where God's truth is sown, we have a responsibility to prepare our hearts for His truth to grow. So here's the question. Do you come into church? Do you go to your Bible? Do you come to God with a hard heart, trampled and resistant to the truth? And listen, you might say, hey, it's not my fault. If you only knew what people had done to me, what life had done to me, you'd be closed off too. Some of you come in with a hard heart because you know that to receive God's word and to let it go deep in your life, there would be significant life change issues. And you like the way your life is going. You like the sin that you're involved in right now, and you're not willing to give it up. But the question really has to be, is your heart hard, trampled, and resistant to the truth? And can Satan come along after God scatters seed in front of you about the kingdom and what it means and who He is? And can Satan easily pick that up and take off with it so that it's gone? It's not there to grow. It's not there to bear fruit. It's not there to develop. Right? Do you walk out the door and easily find a justification for not receiving the message of God today because of His imperfect messenger, say me? Maybe I said or did something that turned you off, or you didn't like how I phrased something, or you found something you disagreed with and how I viewed it. And so right away you were able to close off and go, well, that's not for me, and Satan can just allow that to go away? Or do you come with a heart open to the seed from the Word of God? Is your heart hard, trampled, and resistant to the truth? Do you need to break the ground of your heart? You see, there's this image from Scripture of a clay vessel. And when the clay is cracked, whatever's in it can flow through it, right? And broken people know God's grace in a way that it can flow through to others. Don't be afraid of having the ground of your heart broken. But is it hard? Secondly, are you shallow? Do you find that bursts of growth seem to be abandoned in light of difficulty? Do you find that you come seeking a feeling or experience all the time? Not that that's necessarily wrong, but that's the thing that reassures you that you have a good relationship with God or He's doing something. So you want to come to church and you want to feel better when you leave or feel something, because that's going to show you that something's going on. And as soon as that feeling's gone, you're back to wondering about whether it's true and how it's going. You see, the shallow soil, it means that you've just stirred the surface. You haven't mined deep. And if the truths of God don't go deep when the storms of life come, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because I guarantee you, if you're involved in community and church, I'm probably going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to hurt you, and forgiveness is going to be needed. If you have children, probably you're not going to get through it unscathed without falling to your knees and begging God. Your health might be good right now, but it could go anytime. And all of a sudden, that storm is coming. Do I really believe about the future, what God has said? You see, we have a responsibility not only to make sure our hearts aren't hard, and not just to stir the surface, but to cultivate deeply.
and to believe and practice forgiveness, grace, brokenness. Are your hearts crowded? Whew. You see, you can do the right thing. You can look back and say, you know, I have really checked the hardness of my heart. I have been through this cultivating process. But you know, as I look at it now, I see there's weed patches growing up in my life. I've allowed things to be seated beside the Word of God. Ideas. Maybe just the worries of life. The deceitfulness of wealth. The pursuit of money, stuff, things. All of it's taken away from me tending the garden of my heart, pulling the weeds. I've allowed them to grow up alongside. And the crop hasn't turned yet, so right now everything looks pretty green. And from the outside, it looks like there's a good stand there. But when it turns and it's time to harvest, believe me, there'll be no fruit. I've been there. You're running the combine lawn, and all of a sudden nothing's coming in. And it's all straw. And if your life is crowded with the worries and the pursuits, you might have to do some weeding so that the truth of God's Word has a place to grow and be fruitful. Or are your hearts fruitful? If they are, let me just say, I know the pleasure that comes and the joy of serving God and of seeing fruit in the kingdom and of living that way. But let me encourage you to tend the truth that's planted and continue to watch the soil of your heart and to keep it soft to God, available to His seeds of truth. Absent of the things that would choke out the growth and ready for that 30, 60, 100-fold return. You realize that the face of the known world was changed by 12 guys? Man, it's not outside the realm of thinking that the face of our community and an impact around the world could be felt if we would be kingdom followers who prepared the soil of our heart, tended it carefully, weeded when we needed to, and allow God to provide a fruit that only He can bring. Let's pray. Thank You for Your truth, Father. The images that we relate to that carry significant truth. Help us to see a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Help us to get excited about it. Help us to internally prepare the soil of our hearts. And Lord, as You, the sower, scatter the truth, would it become fruitful? And would all see, and would many more know, and would we be those ambassadors, those children, those reflections of You that You've called us to be. And all God's people said, Amen.